Hey friends, welcome back to the Special Kind of Motherhood podcast. So over the last month or so, we have been talking about the different methods we can use for starting a garden in our backyard. We have talked about container gardening, we have also talked about raised bed gardens, and today we are going to talk about starting an in-ground garden bed. Now, if you are thinking, I do not have the space, or I have absolutely horrible quality soil, then don't worry, there are still solutions for you. I'm going to share with you how you can actually do it in a fairly small space, and also how you can change the quality of your soil over time. So let's go ahead and get started. Hi friend, do you dream of having a garden but you don't know where to start? Do you want to switch to more natural products but feel overwhelmed by all the options? Do you believe that a holistic lifestyle would help your special needs kiddo but you're daunted by all the information out there? Welcome to the Special Kind of Motherhood podcast, where you will learn how to work towards your dream for homesteading, gardening, and holistic living in small, simple steps that won't overwhelm you. Hi, I'm Ashley. I'm a wife, Jesus follower, and mom to some amazing kids. As some of my kids began experiencing health struggles and developmental delays, I decided it was time to switch to a holistic lifestyle. I quickly became stressed out and burnt out, feeling like I needed to change everything at once. I finally realized that I had to start making one small change at a time, then build from there. I learned to walk this holistic journey in a way that works for me and my family, without stress or overwhelm or constantly feeling like I wasn't doing enough. If you're ready to hear from another mama who understands what it's like to have no time and who can help you make changes towards better health for your family in a way that works for your specific life, then this is the podcast for you. Pop in your earbuds, reheat your coffee for the third time, and let's do this. Friends, it is officially March and I am so excited. Where I am, we are actually able to start planting things like broccoli, cauliflower, radishes, carrots, even potatoes and things like that. And I am just itching to get out into the garden. And I want to be able to share this journey with you, and I want you to be able to share it with me as well. So if you're super excited about starting your garden this year, maybe you're wanting someone to post your garden pictures to online who you know will actually get excited and care about it, then head over to our free Facebook community and share with us there. You can find us at bit.ly/motherhoodcommunity. I hope to see you there. All right, friends. So I want to talk about an in-ground garden bed. And this can seem intimidating to some. It can seem overwhelming, or it could even seem impossible. Like I said before, if you are thinking, okay, I don't have enough space, or I have poor quality soil, then I just want to share that I have been there. We only live on a little bit less than half an acre of land, and this, of course, includes our house, our front yard, our kids' playthings, which they have a ton of, and all of that stuff. So it's not like we have a very large space for a garden. And also, the area that we did have for a garden was filled with a very heavy, dense, clay-like soil. So how in the world was I going to start a garden and actually grow fruits and vegetables in this type of soil? Well, it is absolutely possible, and I will share with you how in just a little bit. It will require some time, but hey, that, in my opinion, that's worth it. And also, in the middle of waiting, you can still continue to grow things. So the time is going to pass regardless. If you can improve your soil as you're going along and then actually be able to maximize the amount of space you have to grow in your backyard, then it is worth it, in my opinion. So let's talk a little bit about the pros and cons of an in-ground garden bed. Okay, obviously it is going to require more space than, say, a raised bed or especially a container. And it doesn't have to, you get to decide the space. So it doesn't have to require, you know, a quarter of an acre or anything like that. It could even be just like a 4x4 raised or in-ground garden bed, if you wanted it to be that. You get to decide the space, but it is going to require a little bit more space than most likely a raised garden bed or a container. Now, again, in my opinion, if I'm going to create a in-ground garden bed, then I'm going to try to make it as big as possible because I want to grow things that require more room in that area, and I want to get as much in that space as I can. If I am going to all the effort and the trouble to actually start an in-ground garden bed, then I want to use as much space as possible. But you get to decide what it is you do or do not want to do, how much space you want it to take up. It is really a great option for things that do require more space to grow. And the great thing about these things that require more space to grow is often you end up getting a larger harvest from them as well. So this can be something that works really well for something if you're wanting to maximize the amount of volume that you bring in from your garden. An in-ground bed where you can grow a lot of stuff can be a great option. I tend to like to grow things like watermelon or even pumpkins. You could do things like indeterminate tomatoes. You could also do squash. We have done cucumbers, and we will grow them actually up a trellis as well, which has been really beneficial because I can maximize that space by growing vertically while also using the in-ground space for other things, since the cucumbers are not spreading out all over the place. I have actually trellis squash as well for the same purpose of I want to use this in-ground space for them, but I also want to use that vertical space in order to be able to grow other things in the in-ground bed without the cucumbers or the squash taking over that space. And it's worked really well for us, honestly. So what we actually do is a no-till method. And this has really been well, it worked well for us. What we did initially was a wood mulch, like deep layer wood mulch no-till method. That was kind of difficult to say. Anyways, because we had really like a very poor quality, very thick, dense clay soil, which was just not going to work well for what we wanted to plant in that area. So what we did is we just actually followed, it's Justin Rhodes' method. There may be other people, but his bulletproof garden method, I kind of adapted it a little bit, but for the most part, we followed that in order to start our in-ground garden beds. And we had really, really good results from that. And over the years, let's see, I think I started them, it's been about 4 years ago. And the first year, not great soil, but we were growing in, because we had done the bulletproof garden method, we were still able to grow and we got a good harvest, but it's gotten better each year as the soil quality has improved. And now we're on year 4 and the soil is extremely healthy. It looks great. It's just very good, healthy soil that I'm able to grow lots of beautiful fruits and vegetables in that works great for us. And the reason why it's such a big deal for me, I remember like, I think the first year, of course, soil quality wasn't great, but by like year 2, we went out there, we were getting ready to plant stuff, and my husband had even commented, this soil looks really good. And it was like a moment of pride for me because I was like, yes, I did it. This is beautiful soil. I will sometimes say to my husband when we're out in the garden, I'm like, this is beautiful soil. And I'm just proud of myself because it is beautiful soil. And the reason why it is so important is because in order to have healthy plants, you need to have healthy soil. The soil is where the plants are going to get their nutrients from. And it's how they're going to grow. So making sure that we have good quality, healthy soil is extremely important. And it does not have to be difficult. That is the main thing to keep in mind, is it does require time, but it doesn't have to be difficult. And as long as you're willing to put in a little bit of work and wait and just keep nurturing things as you go, it's absolutely doable. And really, it can expand the amount of food you can grow in your backyard, which is a goal of mine, and it may be a goal of yours as well. What I really like about doing that heavy layer of mulch is the fact that it will actually cut down on the weeds. Now, I will say it does not completely eliminate them. I am going to try the Ruth Stout method in our other in-ground garden bed this year, because we have 2 in-ground garden beds. Both of them we have been doing basically the bulletproof garden method, but with one of them we are going to try the Ruth Stout method, which is just essentially doing about 8 inches or so of hay. And we're actually going to go out there today and spread all of that out and get it ready to go. But what I really like about the either way, whichever type of deep mulch you're going to do, is the fact that it does cut down on weeds. Now with our wood chips, we did not do it quite as deep as what Ruth Stout recommends. And so we did still have weeds coming through, but it was definitely better than it would have been if we had just possibly like tilled up the dirt or something like that. I also really like the deep layer of mulch because it does minimize the amount of watering you have to do, because that thick layer is actually going to trap in and retain the moisture for the plants, which is going to help you to not have to water as frequently. And that, in my opinion, is a really big benefit, because a lot of times during the summer where I live, we don't get as much rain. We can have dry spells. And so if I'm having to go out and water every single day, that can add up very quickly on the water bill. I will say, make sure that you are going to pick, when you get this started, make sure you pick a location where you're going to get the adequate amount of sun you need. So if you have a plant that needs full sun, then you're going to want to make sure that it is going to get at least 6 hours of sunlight a day. And this is, for me, is just making sure, like, I actually like to do this before we pick out wherever we're going to plant. Go out there during the day, different times of the day, and look, is that area actually getting sun? Or whenever the sun starts to set or it's rising, is something else casting a shadow over that for most of the day? That is something you do want to be intentional about, especially because with containers, you can always move containers. With raised bed, it depends on the bed. It's a little bit more difficult, in my opinion, to move. So it's probably a good idea to do this as well with raised beds. But you also might be planting something that does need that partial shade. And so it is going to be better for you to make sure you are getting some shade during the day. Or you could be planting stuff that doesn't do as well in the heat of summer, and you're wanting to give the plant some shade in order to kind of help it to continue to grow throughout the summer and not die off in the intense heat and sun. So just being mindful about where you're placing it and what you're planning to grow is really, in my opinion, is going to serve you best in the long run, because you're not going to spend all of this time and effort and then realize, oh great, this tree is actually shading this garden bed for a large portion of the day, and now I'm very limited in what I can plant here. Because there are definitely more things you can plant that require full sun than things that need that partial shade. So just being mindful of that before you get started. Okay, so now I want to actually share with you what we do. Like I said, we are trying the Ruth Stout method this year. I'm not going to go into that in this podcast, mainly because I haven't even done it yet. We're actually in the process today. We're going to go. My husband and I went and got the hay last night, and we are going to spread it all out and get it all started today. So I'm not going to share about that, but what I am going to share about is the Bulletproof Garden method. It is actually in Justin Rhodes' book. It's called The Rooted Life. I actually think I've mentioned it before in a previous podcast. I love the book. It's very simple, very straightforward, very much a book that if you are wanting to remember how to do something or you have a question about something, you can open it up to that specific chapter, read it, figure out what you need to do. That's my kind of book. I like the very straightforward directions, and also it has beautiful photos. I definitely recommend this book. And like I said, we have taken what he generally outlines and then kind of adapted it a little bit to ourselves. So I'm just going to share a little bit of what we have done. And the first thing that we do is we find where we want to have our bed, and we will put down some kind of weed barrier. You could do things like cardboard boxes. I would recommend making sure, if you are using cardboard boxes, that it doesn't have obviously any kind of tape left on it. You don't want something that's got a lot of ink as well, because those chemicals will leach into the soil. Or you could even do, I know there is like a paper that you can use as well that we actually have used. It's like a weed blocker paper. I've even used craft paper because it has that same similar material, but it doesn't have any ink on it either. And so I have used that because I can get a huge roll of it for a fraction of the cost. And we will put that down in a thin layer wherever we're going to have it. And then what we did is we went ahead and put down a layer of compost on top of that. Usually what we tried to do was, I think, a couple, 2-3 inches deep layer of compost. And then on top of that, we did a deep layer of some kind of mulch. So what we did were the wood chips, but you could also do leaves, you could do grass, you could do straw, you could do hay, anything like that. I would recommend, if you're going to use straw or hay, to make sure it has not been sprayed with an herbicide or anything like that, because it can actually damage your plants and cause you to lose your crop. So being very intentional about that, I would say, if you're going to go the route of either straw or hay, make sure you're intentional about that. But you could, like I said, you could use grass clippings, you could use straw. There are a lot of different things you can use. You just want that organic matter in order to create that layer of mulch. And then also it's going to break down over time and give nutrients to the soil. So I will, like I said, he in the Rooted Life, he actually does it a little bit differently. He kind of does it a little bit more complex in some different layers, but I'm just telling you what we actually did. So we soaked all of that down really well, and then we went ahead and planted in it. And that's been what's worked for us. So over the years, like each year, we just continue to add more mulch to that. And it, of course, that throughout the year, it's breaking down. It's releasing its nutrients into the soil, and that has worked really well for us. And like I said, it does take time, but it doesn't have to be complicated. If you want to see exactly how he does, he might even have a video, I'm not sure, on his Bulletproof Garden method. This is kind of adapted. He does it a little bit differently, but I'll just kind of go over it again. What we did is we put down that layer of weed blocker, some kind of cardboard material, some kind of organic weed blocker paper, anything like that. Then what we would do is we would go ahead and we would add a layer of compost, and then we added a layer of some kind of organic matter. Usually the organic matter, we were aiming for the compost to be at 2-3 inches deep. And then with the organic matter, we actually really wanted it to be more like, what we did initially was probably more like 5-6 inches. But now I realize really you need to aim for probably closer to like 8 inches if you really want to be able to block the weeds, which in my opinion is a must because weeding out in-ground garden beds is not fun. So that's something we've just learned over time. And like I said, as the years have gone down, all of this good organic matter has broken down and created very rich, beautiful soil for us to grow our garden in. And it's been really, really great. So if you have actually figured out a way to start an in-ground garden bed, if you have really poor quality soil as well, and it's different than this, then head over to our free Facebook community and share with us what it is. I'm always interested in trying new things and learning. That's why I'm trying the Ruth Stout method this year, because I just like to try new things to learn and to figure out, hey, maybe this is a better option. Maybe it's actually going to work better for us. Maybe it will produce better for us. And honestly, I'm just really excited to see if the root stout method really helps as far as me not having to weed my in-ground garden beds, because that is, now I have good quality soil and I'm like, okay, we're moving on to the next thing, which is to cut down on as much weeds as possible, because I do not want to have to waste my time weeding my garden beds. And like I said, that's where if you really practice that deeper layer of organic matter, that's really going to help you as well. Anyways, I hope this has been helpful for you. Come over to our Facebook community. You can find us at bit.ly/motherhood community. Share with us there if there's anything you learned. If you have anything to add to this conversation, or you have some new ideas that I've maybe never heard of, I'd love to hear from you. So I hope you guys have a wonderful week, and I will see you back next time. Hey mama, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you take 30 seconds to share this with a friend who is wanting to live more holistically without the overwhelm? Also, don't forget to head over to Apple Podcasts to leave me a review. It blesses and encourages me to know that this show is helping you. All right, friends, it's time for me to go work in the garden and make some homemade bone broth. I will see you back next week.